surprised in some way, if I had announced, hey, come back next week, I'm going to talk to you about reading your Bible. Yeah, it would have been just like that. There would have been, you know, kind of a whole gamut of responses, you know, and you know, there are some who would have said, hey, that's great. I love the Bible, love reading it, and that's wonderful. And, you know, you should do that. Some of you look forward to your Bible reading time. Some of you, you have been best friends with the Word of God for a long time. You love it. You go to it. You look forward to that time. But I got to be honest this morning, that's a very small percentage of you in this room. Amen. That is. Now, that's not to criticize anybody. That's just stating a fact. Amen. Because for a lot of people, when I say I want to encourage you to read your Bible, here's what you see. Symbolically speaking, this is what you see. You see this huge, I mean, you think War and Peace is a big book. I mean, this makes it look like a comic book. You know, and you see that, and it's intimidating. You know, and it's filled with all kinds of strange words. And for some, it's filled with a whole lot of do this and don't do that. And there's just your experience with it may be a little bit different, you know, than some. Now again, some, when you think about the Bible, you think of hope and promises. Amen. and heaven and getting close to God, and that's wonderful. That really is wonderful, but that is not the common thing. So I want you to look around for a minute. Look around for a minute. You all are looking at me. Some of you don't take direction very well. All right, never mind. Thank you to those of you who played along. Look, you look around in here, and you think that you're the one who doesn't really have the knowledge that everybody else has. You look at everybody, you think everybody else has more knowledge than you have. You look around and you see people in here and you think, man, I'm just so far behind. I just don't have all the Bible knowledge that most of these people have. I want you to know the people who really feel strong about understanding the Bible, they're just a few people in this room. They're just a handful. You are in the majority if you don't feel that way. Now, that again, that's not a criticism in any way. See, here's what people feel like. Well, man, you talk about the Bible, it's just this huge, imposing book, and I don't understand it, and it's filled with all kinds of, you know, things that I'm confused by. You've probably done the old, you know, and you think, okay, so to read my Bible, you know, I tried that whole thing January 1st. I started in Genesis 1. I made it through Genesis pretty good, but I got into the next couple of weeks, and it started talking about how they cut up an animal to make sacrifices, and he started talking about this part of the animals for this sin, and started listing all these things, and I just got lost in it, and I sort of gave that up. And you're saying, well, I don't even know how to read my Bible. So here's what you did. Here's what I've done in the past. We do the old, okay, God, what do you want me to read today? And we do one of these, right? And we come up and we end up with verses like this. Let me show you some verses we end up with. In the book of Isaiah, we end up with a verse like this one. For all the tables are full of vomit and filthiness, and so that there is no place clean. God, you want me to clean my house? Is this my hungover verse? God, are you trying to tell me I drink too much? Right? You know, and you're like, well, okay, well, that was probably just me, you know, let's try it again. So then you end up with kind of one of these verses, like in the book of Romans, and for the wrath of God. It never starts well like that, right? But there's a lot of that in the Bible, isn't there? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and the unrighteousness. You say, like, that's why I don't read the Bible, right there. I don't want to read about God's wrath revealed against my ungodliness and unrighteousness and all those things. And then there's the confusion. Because again, you know, you open up, you say, well, maybe the end is better than the beginning. So you go near the end in 1 John chapter 4, and you end up with a verse like this that so simply says God is love. Wait a minute. I just read about how God is really mad. You know, but God is love. And so we look at this and we think, I don't have any idea what to do with this. Amen. I don't know what to do with this. See, you look at reading your Bible. The thought of sitting down to read your Bible, for you. You feel, some of you, you feel like I would feel sitting down to play chess with Anton, who is a master. And it's like, okay, I kind of know how all these pieces move, but I don't have any plan at all. And I feel like the guy on the other side of the table, he wants to kill me. I mean, his goal is to just destroy me as fast as he can. And honestly, that's kind of how some people look at the Bible. It's like, well, I know what some of the words are. I mean, I know somewhere in there is Jesus, and I know it says somewhere he loves me, and I remember, you know, one time God put this verse, you know, the pastor put this verse up on the screen, said God is love, but I don't have a plan. And I feel like the guy on the other side is pretty much looking to punish me. And so, man, if I start reading that thing, I'm going to read about all the things I'm doing wrong. I'm going to start reading about all the ways that I make God mad. And I'm going to start really not, I just don't really know how to do that. Or, you know, for you to you know, and oftentimes I'll suggest, well, get in a Bible study group. Find some other people to study the Bible with. And you hear that and you think, you feel the same way that I would feel if I sat down with a bunch of 13-year-olds to play video games. It's like, I can't compete. I don't have any idea how to do it. And I'm going to embarrass myself because I'm so naive. I'm so unskilled at this. And that's how you think a Bible study would be if you joined a group of people. And, you know, obviously you're not in competition with somebody. We shouldn't be feeling that way about the Bible because we're not in competition with somebody. And a Bible study isn't about comparing your knowledge with my knowledge and comparing how much you know and you shouldn't be embarrassed by not understanding a lot of the Bible, because again, and I'm very pointed this morning. My point this morning is for you to realize you are the majority if that's how you feel. Amen. If you feel strong in the scriptures, you are in the minority. Amen. There aren't very many people who feel strong in the scriptures. And so today, I want to do something. I want to take away all the intimidation. I want to take away all the fear. I want to take away all those thoughts, all those images of this gigantic book that is so intimidating. I want to take all of that away. And I want to talk to all of us about how every single person in this room can begin a relationship with God, like Alicia talked about in our worship time, but this time based on reading His Word. Because I want you to know, as intimidating and scary as it might feel, this is your ticket to understand who God is. Amen. Right. This is what it's all about. If your faith will be founded in the right parts of this book, you will not lose your faith. Amen. You will feel very confident when you go out into this world that you can live for God. You'll also feel much more confident that He's forgiven you, Amen. Cleansed you, and loves you. And so I want you to have a relationship with this book. And can I just say, and this is not doctrinal, this is just my opinion, would you, I use an iPad to do a lot of studying, but don't ever lose a relationship without Amen. Something like this. Amen. Get yourself one of these. One of the things that I love to do more than anything in this world is to find some people who really love the Lord and love their Bibles. I love to get a hold of their Bibles sometime and see what they've underlined. See what, at in a funeral time, oftentimes I will ask someone, may I have your mother's Bible for a few days while I prepare for her funeral? Because I love to see what they wrote. I love to see what they put in the margins. I love to see what spoke to them. And so I just want to encourage you to have a relationship with that. So this morning, I'm going to do two things. I don't believe that I'll be lengthy, but I it's very, very important, I think. I want to do two things. First of all, I want to explain how we got this book. I want to explain to you how we got this book of books, or this book of documents, this book of manuscripts, this book of letters that you and I call the Word of God. And the second thing that I want to do is I want to share with you how, if I were a very beginner, if I were a novice and I knew nothing about the Bible, I want to share with you how I would start with just a couple of verses a day. This is how I was, and if you are, you're kind of one of those, you're kind of what we might call an intermediate. You say, well, you know, I kind of, you know, I went to Sunday school when I was a kid. I remember the stories. I got this. I kind of understand, but I'm kind of lost in a lot of places. I also want to share with you what I would do if I were you. And then finally, I have something big for those of you who feel like you are very strong in the scriptures. You feel like you've got a handle on the scriptures. So just stay with me. My first point is talking about how we got this book, because I think it's important to know. My second point is how I would read it, and you'll know that the message is almost over when I get to the second point, so just hang on, okay? The first one's long. Don't think the second point's going to be that long. So here we go as we get into this. So how did we get our Bible? If you have a copy of your Bible with you and you opened it up to the beginning, you will find a very lengthy table of contents at the beginning, starting with Genesis, running all the way through the book of Malachi in the Old Testament, and then going beginning with Matthew in the New Testament, running all the way to the book of the Revelation. You'll find that in a table of contents. I have put it actually onto a timeline, though, of when those books were written. I want to share that with you right now. So this is something that came out of his master plan. Now, I know you probably can't see all these names of the books of the Bible, but just simply because they're light and all that. But this is Genesis right here, and it runs all the way through the book of the Revelation. Kind of on a timeline. I want to help this morning those who are intimidated. That looks like a lot of stuff to have to read, doesn't it? And it is. There's 66 books there. 66 of them. 39 in your Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. And as we look at that and we think about, oh man, that is just so much, it's important for us to understand why we even have it to begin with. We actually have our copies of the Bible. You have your copy if you have a kind of a standard Bible in some translation that has 66 books in it. We actually have this because a little over 400 years ago, there was a group of people that got together, a council that got together and decided which of the hundreds and hundreds of ancient manuscripts would be included into what's called now the canon of Scripture. It's important for us to remember that there were actually hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of documents. Now, we believe the Holy Spirit was involved in that and led them to choose these 66. But let me just tell you, the reason most of them were chosen is because the early church, well, first of all, the Old Testament was mainly Jewish history. It was what they already had. But also that first century churches, those brand new believers, those brand new people that were following Jesus in this brand new thing that he started called, we call it Christianity, they just knew they were following Jesus. They trusted a certain number of letters. They trusted what the apostles said. And they trusted what the people who lived during that time and saw Jesus die and saw him rise again. And they said, if this guy can predict his own death and resurrection and pull it off, I'm with him. Amen. Now that's a good decision to make, by the way. That's a real good decision to make. If somebody can do that, that's somebody who is who he said he was. And so the people who witnessed that, all those hundreds of people who witnessed that, people like Paul, people like Timothy, or people who, Matthew and John and Mark, they watched that all happen, and then they saw Jesus rise again, and then they recorded their experiences, and so did many others. So these people four or 500 years ago who got together to give us what we call a Bible, they believed the people who were eyewitnesses, and they adopted their writings into our scriptures. But here's the point. Prior to that, all we had were groups of people called churches who all got together and they shared what they had. Hey, I got a copy of Paul's letter to the Philippians. I'll share it with you. And they would copy it. And they would share, hey, I've got a copy of those first five, I've got a copy of what's called the Pentateuch. You know, those first five books, I've got a copy. And they would share these different parts of Scripture with one another. If we go all the way back to the time of Jesus, if we go all the way back to this time here, 2,000 years ago, do you know what they had for what we would call a Bible? They had nothing but the Old Testament. There was no Bible. All they had were the writings of the ancient Israelites. So watch, here's the point. What we have today, please understand, what we have today is a very special opportunity to know Jesus. But it's not all necessarily what has always been for all time, for all people. Much of what you're intimidated by, you're not even really needing to be concerned with. the parts of Scripture that scares most of us. How many of you have read the book of the Revelation? How'd you like that? Was that encouraging? Did that just encourage you? Did you put it down and say, oh, I just feel the love of Jesus. I just feel like God is love. No, because God is pouring down judgment all throughout it. But here's something you may not know. You won't even be here during that time. It's not for you. You don't have to worry about it. You say, well, I read the, you know, you talk about reading the Bible, and I tried that book of the Revelation, and man, I didn't understand anything. You're not supposed to understand it. It's not even written to you. It's not even written to you. Well, I started this Old Testament stuff, and I was reading through this, you know, through these all these laws and all these things, and I can't live like that. Good. You don't have to live like that. Amen. You don't have to live like that. Because I want to tell you what happened in the course of that. See, and when we go back to that time of Jesus, the Old Testament, let's talk about the Old Testament for a minute. So here's what we have. When you look at your table of contents and when you think about this giant book over here, most of it is all of this right here. And do you know not one single book of that was written to you? None of it. Now, it's good for us. It's good for us. It's written for us, but it's not written to us. Amen. It was written to the Jews to tell them how to live until their Messiah came. Amen. Please understand, it wasn't even supposed to be the final word for the Jews. It was only supposed to tell them how to try to live until their Messiah came. Amen. So all those stories that you read one time maybe, or that you've heard about, man, God poured down, you know, fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. And I don't want to read about that. Well, it's important for you to know that story and why God did it, but you don't have to know it to understand who Jesus is. Amen. You don't ever have to read that. If you never read that and for the rest of your life, you can still know everything you need to know in order to go to heaven and live with Jesus forever. And to really understand who he is. So there's two things the Old Testament does for us. There's two things that all of these books right here do for us. The first one is, it tells us the history of modern man from Adam to Jesus. It tells us the things that God wanted us to know about what happened to Adam and Noah and Moses and Abraham and David and all those characters, all those names that you hear. He wants us to know what happened to them all the way up till Jesus. But the second thing is, and far, far, far more important, all of these books right here, I could replace every one of these with an arrow. Every one of those are just an arrow pointing to this right here. Amen. They're just an arrow. They're all pointing to Jesus. And that's why when Jesus came along, he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Tell you what I'm going to do. John chapter 8, Jesus came along and he said, I'll tell you what. All these books right here? How about if we just sum them all up? Let me just give you two things that will sum up all of those. What are those two things? Help me. Love God and love your neighbor. That's what he said. He said, on those two things hang all the laws. These are the laws right here. And these are the prophets. Hang all the laws and the prophets. Jesus said, look, you just get those two things, you got all of this. So guess what? Jesus himself took away most of the intimidating parts of this book right here. You see, the first two-thirds of this book is all stuff that Jesus said, I've replaced all that. I've replaced all that with two things. Isn't it a great thing? Jesus replaced with, see, love God, love your neighbor. That's four words, right? No, five words. Oh, wow. Lost the back. He replaced 66 books with five words. Love God, love your neighbor. That takes a lot of the intimidation away, doesn't it? Amen. Now look, I'm not saying we should never read this. I'm not saying you should ever read back in this part of the Bible. You should, but not when you're new. Amen. Not when you're trying to get started. Not when you're just beginning. Not when you feel intimidated by all of that. That's the time to focus only on the things that Jesus really, really wants you to know. And so that right there helps us out tremendously. Well, let's go on. Let's continue as we look at that. So it, the first two-thirds of your Bible was written to the Jews. what part was written to us? Well, we then come to, in fact, you know what else this all this does? All these books right here, you know what else they do? They also tell us why Jesus needed to come. They tell us why Jesus needed to come. And so we come to this, you know, I'm going to try to stay close to my notes so I'll get off on a rabbit trail. We'll be here all day. So why do we, okay, so you might say, well, okay, so what about all that stuff that I read? See, there's a lot of these principles that came out of here that were timeless. How about the Ten Commandments? Are those still good for today? Yeah, I mean, does God still, is thou shalt not kill kind of a principle we should always, that's going to continue forever? Sure it is. How about thou shalt not steal? Thou shalt not, you know, commit adultery. Thou shalt not drive too slowly in the left-hand lane. Thou shalt not, all these thou shalt nots, some of those are timeless, but they're not all timeless. They're not all supposed to be carried over to our lives. For example, God is no longer commanding anyone to sacrifice an animal to please him. In fact, please hear me, there's still some people that kind of twist scripture. God would be displeased if you went home and tried to kill an animal to please him. Amen. God's not for that. God doesn't want you. Why? Because those were all sacrifices for a time before their Messiah came. And when the Messiah came, God said, now you don't need to do that anymore. In fact, if you do that, you're insulting my son. Amen. By the way, if you're still trying to earn your way to heaven some other way, not necessarily sacrificing an animal, but if you think you can buy your way into heaven, you're insulting Jesus. Amen. If you think you can make up for all the bad you've done, you're insulting Jesus. Amen. Because all of this just simply proved that we couldn't do that. So why do we even have the Old Testament in our Bibles? Well, the long answer, we could go back and we could talk about the early church and how, you know, they adopted it in because most of them were Jews that were following Jesus now. But the short answer is the one Jesus gave us. Let me show you with you what Jesus gave us. Jesus gave us in Matthew chapter number 5. Here's what Jesus said. He said, don't think that I've come to destroy the law. He said, or the prophets. He said, oh, it's not up there anymore. He said, I haven't come to destroy all that Old Testament stuff, but I've come to do what? Complete it. He said, I've come to complete it. Now, what does he mean by completing it? What he means is, I've come to finish the whole purpose for all of those things you read about. See, I came to finish the whole sacrifice thing. He said, there's no more need to sacrifice an animal because I was the sacrifice. Hi, guys. I was the sacrifice. Glad you're here. I was the sacrifice. He said, and my sacrifice, look, watch. In fact, the Bible tells us the blood of all these animals, bulls and goats and all that stuff was never good enough anyway. That's right. Amen. You see, mankind simply could not live up to the righteousness of God. Never could. That's right. Never could. If you read through the Old Testament, okay, you say, well, I don't know, Pastor. I just think I should read through. Go ahead. But be prepared. You're going to get depressed. You're going to get depressed. Amen. You know what you'll find? I'm not telling you to not read it. Those of you who can handle it, you get the big picture. Go for it. Read it, study it, learn it, and all that stuff. But if you're new, if you don't have a relationship with this book yet, and you start reading through all those Old Testament stories, you're going to find a lot of blood, a lot of violence. You're basically going to find a lot of failures of man and a very angry God. Right. Amen. Because all of it was pointing to the very reason we needed a Savior. Amen. And we read about that when we come to the book of Matthew. So let me go back to the timeline, please. So when we come back to that, when Jesus said, I've come to complete all of this, this all doesn't matter so much anymore. And then the next four books of your Bible, after the Old Testament, the next four books of your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they tell the story of how Jesus fixed everything. Amen. They tell his story and his fix. His fix for our sin. His fix for our sin is this focal point right here. Amen. In one moment of time, when Jesus took his last breath on that cross, he fixed everything as far as your sin is concerned. And my sin is concerned. And he said, I don't want you to live in your past. And that's why he said, I don't want you to live in this past either. I don't want you to go back and reread Hosea again. Wait, he wants us to read it at some point, but you don't need to have to go back and read what he made Hosea do to picture how wicked his people were. Those of you who know your scripture, you know what I'm talking about. He said, you don't need to go back and be confused by Ezekiel. Look, the angels are confused by the book of Ezekiel. Nobody understands the book of Ezekiel. But people want to spend their time and live and all that, and you're going to find just a lot of depression and anxiety. If you have anxiety, which many do, stay out of those prophets. Seriously. Look, I know you say, well, I just can't believe the pastor of the church I'm listening to this morning is telling me not to read the Bible. I'm not telling you not to read the Bible. I'm telling you not to read those parts. They're gonna cause your anxiety, send you over the edge. Because there's something that God does want you to read. And it will encourage you. And it will fill you with hope. And it will share with you the love that God has for you. And it starts in those four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They tell you how Jesus fixed everything. And then, so the Gospels tell his story. And then it moves on to the church. And Jesus said, look, my new thing here, this new thing that I've announced to you, and by the way, it was a brand new thing. Jesus didn't just modify religion. He did away with religion, and he replaced it with a relationship. He did away with all of that stuff of you trying to earn. Look, he did away with people like you and me having to come to some powerful man to get forgiveness. Just like the sacrificing of animals, God doesn't want us having to go and beg for some human being who's just as sinful, if not more so than we are, and say, what must I do to be saved? He said, no, you ask that of me. You ask that of Jesus. But he called this organism, he called this thing that he was starting the church. And he called somebody very special to teach the church. And that man's name was Paul. And Paul wrote 13 books of our New Testament. They begin right here in the book of Romans, and it ends in the book of Philemon. Now, that's pronounced a lot of different ways. I don't know that anybody really knows how to pronounce it for sure. So you have your own way, that's fine. But he wrote those books, and they really were just letters that Paul wrote. Jesus said, I want you to teach my people this new thing, Julie. He said, Paul, I want you to tell them about me. I want you to tell them about this new thing. I want you to help them move out of all of this and into this new thing called grace. Amen. Through faith. He said, I want you to teach them that they can't earn their way to heaven because I've already paved the way for that. I want you to teach them that this new thing is about me and the fact that I proved I was who I said I was by dying, being buried, and rising again. Amen. And so you and I have some very direct letters written to us. Yes, they were written to the church at Corinth, the church at Thessalonica, the church at Philippi, the church at all these, you know, these different places. But he said, these are for all time. These are for my church, of which you and I are a part. Amen. So here's the thing. So the only books that really were specifically written to you and me, specifically, to tell us how to live, are Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Now, that right there takes it from 66 books down to 13, plus the four Gospels. Is it less intimidating now? It should be, but it's even more so than that. You say, well, what about all this stuff at the end? What about all these? What about all these books? What about Hebrews and James? Well, let me ask you a question. Just by the title, whom do you think that the book of Hebrews is written to? Hebrews, yeah. It's not coffee baristas. Ba-dum-bum-tsh. Some of you are like, I don't get it. The book of James, read the first chapter. Read the first couple of verses. It says, to the 12 tribes scattered. Are you a part of the Jewish tribes, the 12 tribes? No. He was written to Jews. Those are written for a different time. And look, and this is why if we, and look, again, are they good for us? Yes. But were they written to us? No. So we don't need to focus so much on those. We need to focus on the things written specifically to us. So that having been, so I know some of you are probably sitting here and you're saying, well, Pastor, it sounds like you're talking about cutting the Bible up into sections. And some sections are more important than the others. Well, some sections are more important to different groups of people at different times of but that's not really the point. But don't take my word for it. Take Paul's word for it when he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Here's what Paul wrote. He said, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. Notice the next part. Rightly, what? Dividing the word of truth. Why do you think Paul said you need to learn to divide this book? I'll tell you why. Because if we don't divide it up into the sections that were written specifically to us and for us to help us, the ones that are going to help us most, then how do we know? That's how we end up doing that thing we talked about at the very beginning. God, tell me what I should read. Now, I know some of you are saying, well, Pastor, the Old Testament, what about the Psalms? I mean, I go to the Psalms for comfort. Have you really read the Psalms? Look, come on. Have you really read them? You say, well, yeah, Psalm 23. I mean, the Lord is my shepherd. I get that one. Can you name another? Most of them are David railing on how wicked the people around him are and asking God to kill them. You don't go to the Psalms for comfort. They're good to read. Don't get me wrong. Again, I'm talking to those that I talked to at the very beginning of this message. You're saying, Pastor, tell me where to start. That's what I'm doing. I'm telling you where to start. I'm telling you how to build a relationship with this book, and by doing so, you're building a relationship with Jesus because he is the Word. The last part, can we go back to the timeline? The last part of that, this is written to the about the future. The reason you don't understand anything in the book of the Revelation or even some of those prior to that is because most of them are written for a time in the future. The first three chapters of the book of the Revelation are written to churches. After that, the church is taken out of this world, and then literally all hell breaks loose on this earth. You won't be here. You don't need to know what happens. You don't need to understand the wrath of the Lamb and all these plagues and all these things happening. So God wants us, or Jesus wants us, to just simply understand which parts of Scripture are for us. Now, that's the first part then of how we got our Bible. This section was given to the Jews, right here. All this was given to the Jews to tell them their history and to tell them how to live until their Messiah came. These four books right here, they tell the story of Jesus and everything that he did on this earth. And they also tell about his fix. You should read those. Then we have this whole section right here. This is all the letters that Paul wrote to the churches. And the back part is all about the future. So here's what I would do if I were you and you don't feel confident reading Scripture. I would go ahead and probably read the book of Genesis. Give me that next slide. So I probably would go ahead and read the book of Genesis. Because the book of Genesis tells you how it all began. Now, what I would suggest, if you don't want to read the whole book, that's perfectly fine. You could actually just read the first three chapters. If you read the first three chapters, you'll read about how God created everything, and you'll read about how man immediately fell and could not live up to the standard of righteousness. Everything after chapter 3 of Genesis is really just it's the same song, next verse. Because you'll continue to read it. You'll read about how man continued to sin and man had to try to make up for it. Man continued to sin. You'll read about Noah and how the whole world, God had to destroy the world. Then we'll go to the Tower of Babel. God's mad again because the people are doing something that God didn't want. And you'll go on and on and on and on. Eventually God starts his nation of Israel. But it's all basically the entire Old Testament after the third chapter of Genesis is all the same thing. It's man's failures and God forgiving and man's failures, and God's forgiveness, but it's also God's anger. Now then, So I would read the book of Genesis for the first three chapters. Then, all right, so watch. Oh, no, you can't watch. I keep looking up there thinking that's going to still be up there. So then you go to the Gospels. The Gospels tell the story of Jesus. Can I simplify it even further? Do you know if you really want to just know who Jesus is, you could just read the Gospel of John. Hey, if you're brand new to this thing, if you're like, man, I don't know where to start, just go to the book of John. Read the first chapters in Genesis and then go to the book of John. Is that the one you would pick, Laura? That's what I would pick too. You know, because it shows Jesus as the Savior. It shows Jesus as that loving Savior who came to die for us. It has everything you have to know. It has that beautiful verse, John 3:16, that we all tried to learn as children. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, what? Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting. It's got all that in it. It talks about him being that, by the way, if you read the first chapter of Genesis and then you read the first chapter of John, they sound alike. They both begin the same, in the beginning God. And they explain. See, you can read the first three chapters of Genesis. It'll tell you why we needed a Savior. You go to the book of John and it'll talk about that Savior who came. And can I have that other thing back up, please, just real quick? Thank you for what you're doing back there. And you can skip over all of this. You don't have to even know that there is a book called Habakkuk or Haggai or any of those. You don't have to spend the first 30 minutes trying to find the book of Nahum. It's in there if you want it, but you don't have to. And if that's what's keeping you from reading it, you're not reading it for a really bad reason. Because you could do just fine with the first three chapters of the book of Genesis, and then go to the book of John. Can I go back to that list, please? And then what I would suggest you read, again, I'm talking to those of you who are brand new. Then I would suggest you read four short books. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Not one of them is more than six chapters long. Each one of them tells the whole gospel story for those of us who live in this age of grace. It begins in Galatians, where that's those beautiful verses in Galatians 2, 8, 9. I won't have them up on the screen, but he said, for by grace are you saved, through faith. Not of yourselves, not of works, lest any of you boast. He said, you can't earn your way. It's the whole gospel story in each one of these books. You could just read the book of Galatians. So if you want a simple reading plan that you can accomplish in the next week or 2 weeks, and get the whole gospel story, get the whole big picture of all the Bible, you could read the first three chapters of the book of Genesis, the book of John, and the book of Galatians. And you would see most of everything that God wants you to know in just a couple of weeks. Could you make a commitment to do that? Could you make a commitment to say, you know what, Yeah, I was one of those. When you brought this thing out here, man, I was right there. When you talk about reading the Bible, this is what I picture. I picture this big, intimidating, scary, negative book. Please understand, it's not all that way. It's not that way. If you will get these, if you'll just spend enough time in these, look, here's what I would, spend your time from now till Christmas in these books right here. Amen. I promise you, you like talking about Christmas, huh, Kyle? Yes! Because it's all about Jesus coming to save us. That's right. Spend your time between now and Christmas in those books right there. You'll find some of the most beautiful, you'll find some of the verses you've seen everywhere. Like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me in the book of Philippians. You'll find, you know, that God can do anything. You know, you'll find these beautiful verses that you've heard and you've seen. This is the story that Jesus wants you to get. You got plenty of time after you get these parts right here to get the rest. Amen. And I am not putting down the rest of God's word. I believe it's all important. Amen. It's just not all as important to a brand new believer, or to somebody who's been a believer for a long time, but you've stayed away from this book because of how imposing it is, how intimidating it is, how confusing it is. Now that's for those kind of beginning. If you're kind of in that intermediate part, I would still do this also. And then I'd add some of the other books that Paul wrote. And if you want to add some other things, that's great. But I would still start here. These are the books I read most often. I know a lot of the rest of the Bible, but these are the ones that speak to me the most. But go ahead and add 1 and 2 Corinthians. Add Paul's letters to the church at Thessalonica. Paul's letters to Timothy. Add those in. They'll teach us a lot of things. Our church leadership needs to study those letters to the churches. Amen. So that we make sure we stay sound. Look, you need to read what Paul said to Timothy so you hold me accountable as a pastor.
Amen.
Thank you, Kip. There are not very many people want to say that. Leave it to you. You're yeah, no problem saying it. But I'm serious. That's what it's all about. Now, for those of you, those few of you, you feel very strong in Scripture. You have spent a long time, not just reading, but studying. You've had a love affair with the Word of God for a while. I am so thrilled to know you have that. But I want to speak very pointedly to you, as I did on Wednesday. What is the point?
Amen.
What is the point of knowing Scripture? Is it so that we can say, look, I know all this. I know all this. Do you think you're going to get to heaven? Look, please don't take this the wrong way. I'm not preaching at you, but I'm asking an honest question. Do you think you're going to get to heaven and Jesus is going to say, you're the guy. You know, you memorized 400 verses. High five. No, the guy that comes up and says, hey, Jesus, yep, I can quote the book of the Revelation. And Jesus would say, so can I. In 100 languages.
Amen.
And then he's going to say to the person next to that person, you don't know much outside of these books right here, but you got what I said when I said love God and love your neighbor. Get out of her seat. You're in her seat. That's how it's going to go down, folks.
Amen.
She lived out the little bit she knew. That's who Jesus is going to recognize. It's not going to happen the way we think. You're not spiritual because you know a bunch of Scripture. So my point is, what is the point? Watch. Does a chef prepare an extravagant, healthy, 9-course meal just to prove he can do it? I mean, what a waste that would be, right? If he just prepared it and then just said, hey, everybody watch. Everybody look at it. Just check it out. Check it out. Don't touch that. I didn't make that for you to eat. Just look at it. Does a chef do that? But there's a lot of Christians who think they're pleasing God by having so much knowledge. They can quote the books of the Bible forward, backward, alphabetically. They can talk and quote and this and that, and they've done all the studies. They can tell you all about Daniel's toes and that whole thing in Ezekiel, the wheel within a wheel, whatever that means. I think it's a spaceship. But what is the point if we're not using what we know to teach somebody else? So here's my last point, and I'm done. If you think you know Scripture, you have an obligation. You have an obligation. You are responsible. If somebody taught you, and by the way, and if you say, nobody taught me, I taught myself, you're a liar.
Amen.
And you're arrogant.
Amen.
And you actually can't check that. You don't have anything to offer anybody else.
Right.
But if somebody taught you, you are obligated to teach someone else. I'll prove it to you. Here's what Paul told Timothy after Paul spent a lot of time with Timothy. He said, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard of me, the things I taught you, and you heard them from many witnesses, the same commit to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. You see, Paul, the word, and I talked about it Wednesday night, the word is mentoring. Mentoring. Jesus' plan was for you to learn Scripture so you could mentor someone else. See, Paul mentored Timothy. Timothy mentored Titus. Titus mentored some pastors. Some pastors mentored their deacons, and their deacons mentored some of the elderly ladies, and the elderly ladies, they mentored some younger ladies, and the younger ladies mentored some children. That's how it works.
Amen.
So you find somebody to mentor you, and then you mentor someone.
Amen.
What a waste it would be if you are a Bible scholar and you take it to your grave thinking you're going to take it to Jesus and show him. He is going to walk right past you and go to the person who knew far less but did something with it.
Amen.
And taught some others. See, most of the people in this room need a mentor.
Amen.
I won't ask you to raise your hand, but most of the people in this room, if they were honest, they're one of those that says, I don't feel strong in Scripture. I don't understand it all. I don't get it all. Did you know, don't feel shame about that, because let me show you a verse of Scripture. There was a man who was like the number two. He was the number two in authority for Queen Candace of Ethiopia. He was sitting in a chariot reading, and Philip, a deacon who'd been taught by Paul, came to him and said this. He said, do you understand what you're reading? Now watch what this number two man in all of Ethiopia said. Powerful guy. He was her counselor. He was supposed to know everything. Here's what he said. He said, How can I understand this? Except some man guide me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now look, if the guy who's supposed to be a counselor to a queen doesn't understand the Scripture, why are you beating yourself up for it? Why do you feel ashamed because you don't understand? Look, I got news for you. And there aren't any of us understand it all. There aren't any of us that understand everything. So start where you started today. And if you are a strong person in Bible knowledge, you have a responsibility. I'm just being plain.
Amen.
You have a responsibility to share that with somebody who doesn't.